Under center this time is Bridgewater with Melvin Gordon behind him. Fourth and one. He gives to Gordon, and Gordon is knocked down. Football comes loose. Eagles come up with it. Slay picks it up. Slay running with the ball. And Slay takes off to the far side of the field, to the 30, to the 40. Slay running away from people. Slay at the 40, the 30, the 20, 10, 5, touchdown, Darius Slay.
Wow. Rob, can I just tell you something?
Yeah.
Hearing Merrill Reese's voice on a July like that is just, that's a
counting
pleasure.
It down, Glenn. It can't come soon enough.
It's the greatest.
Yep.
This hour sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. And what we played for you was a defensive highlight for your Philadelphia Eagles, who did not have a ton of them last year. Bo Wolf, joins us. Bo is the fine journalist for The Athletic. And Bo, you guys did kind of a roundtable of the beat reporters that ran in The Athletic this past week, where the question is, what is the area of concern for your team? You didn't go chalk, man. You didn't say Jalen Hurts. You said?
I think I said Jonathan Gannon.
You did. So let's talk about it. How come?
Well, you know, I just think that there's so much unknown about Jonathan Gannon, and you mentioned Jalen Hurts. I think that the Eagles have sort of put Jonathan Gannon in a very similar position to what they've done with Jalen Hurts. You know, this offseason on offense was about giving Jalen Hurts the weapons that he needed to best evaluate him moving forward, right? Like, now that he's got A.J. Brown, he's got these great targets, the offensive line should be great. Now we're going to be able to find out if Jalen Hurts can be the guy. I think they've done a very similar thing on defense. I think they've upgraded at every level. You talk about adding Jordan Davis to the middle of the defensive line, Hassan Reddick to the pass rush, Kaiser White and Akobe Dean to the linebacking core, which obviously needed improvement, and pairing James Bradbury with Darius Slay gives them a better tandem of corners. Now we're going to find out if Jonathan Gannon can be as good of a coach as the Eagles think he can be. And it's not just the talent improvements. They've also given him the ability to be more versatile, which I think he wants to do. I think he wanted to do last year and realized early on that he maybe didn't have the personnel for that. But, you know, everybody I talk to loves Jonathan Gannon. I'm impressed with Jonathan Gannon. He seems like a very smart guy. The players like him a lot. But, you know, the proof is in the pudding. Last year, this was a defense that ranked 25th in defensive DVOA, second to last in sacks. And I think that now that the defense is this loaded, on paper at least, if this is not a top, you know, 12, top 10 defense, I think there's a chance that the Eagles might think about moving on from Jonathan again.
Bo, looking at last year, and I concur with what you just said 100%. And when I look at last year, I see a team that had no pass rush, that had essentially one good player in the secondary and at best an average linebacking core for sure. And I think it, all things considered, not all that bad when it comes to points per game. I thought he did a pretty decent job. I know we hate non-aggressive defensive coordinators in this city. We're, you know, a lot of people were born on Buddy Ryan and Bud Carson and Jim Johnson. I get it.
By the way, my hand is raised at this moment, just so you know.
Yeah, no, I hear you. But I don't think he had much of a choice, I guess, is my point last year. I think he was very much a lot of the leeway that we give Jalen Hurts with not having weapons other than maybe Devontae Smith on the outside. I think the same thing does apply to Jonathan Gannon. I think he was doing this with a hand and, you know, maybe even part of his arm tied behind his back. Like, I think he deserves that kind of leeway. But you're right. I mean, they've certainly put it out there for him. What's your sense on how they were defensively last year?
I think I sort of agree with you that he was limited, but the only thing I disagree about is I think to some degree this is not super different from the style that Jonathan Gannon would like to play. And you're right. Like, the passivity does sort of seem like anathema to the Philadelphia DNA. Like, we want guys to be aggressive. And I think Jonathan Gannon's, like, top goals are prevent big plays. Like, that's what he was good at last year. The problem is, if you do that, you sort of have to buckle up in the red zone. And last year, I think they were the fourth worst red zone defense in the league. That's usually the kind of thing that just tends to revert to the mean year over year. So I would expect a bounce back from the Eagles there. And that's part of the reason I think that they should be much better on defense. I'm expecting them to be, you know, a top 12 caliber defense. But I just think that, like, The defensive personnel, it wasn't that bad last year. It wasn't 25th best in the league personnel. You still had Javon Hargrave having a career year. You had Josh Sweat having a very good year. You had Fletcher Cox in the middle. You had Darius Slay having a monster year. I don't think they were quite as bad defensively as they were last year, but I do wonder now if he's just going to be able to have more of the tools in his toolbox that he wants to be able to be a little bit more versatile.
Let me just say that Bo Wolf just accomplished a first in the 100-year history of WIP by using passivity and anathema in the same sentence. And I give him a lot of credit for that. You can follow Bo, by the way, on Twitter at Bo_Wolf, W-U-L-F. You mentioned Fletcher Cox, and Fletcher Cox is a guy whose number will be retired someday in this franchise and has done great things, but clearly is a bit on the decline. Looking forward, what do you think we can expect from Fletcher Cox this year? And if you're the defensive coordinator, how do you kind of – do you work him into the scheme more part-time? Do you give him more time off? Do you try to – I don't know. What do you do?
It's such an interesting question. And you like every single move the Eagles did this offseason, everything Howie Roseman did, made so much sense to me from a short-term and long-term perspective, balancing those two goals. Everything made sense except for the Fletcher Cox deal. And I'm still sort of scratching my head about what that was all about, the release and then re-signing him so quickly to such a big number when there were other players.
Yeah, they didn't cut it much at all.
Right. And there were other players of, like, similar caliber to the way that Fletcher Cox played last season who were signing for, you know, $7, $8 million and who were still available when they re-signed Fletcher Cox. And it's such an interesting dynamic because, you know, Fletcher Cox in this locker room is a big presence. Like, you know, he's the guy to some extent on defense, but it's a defensive tackle rotation that has Javon Hargrave, who's coming off a huge year and is in a contract year if the Eagles don't extend him before training camp starts. You got a first round pick in Jordan Davis, who's definitely going to play and they have a big role for, and Milton Williams, who was really, really good as a rookie, the third round pick last year. And I think he needs to be on the field. And so, you know, is Fletcher Cox going to be comfortable being not a bit player? He's still going to start, but is he going to be comfortable playing, you know, 55-60% of the snaps, something like that? I'm not so sure. It's sort of a recipe for some odd tension, I feel like. But at the same time, you know, I'm sure that Fletcher Cox was aware of that when he re-signed. I mean, he knew that at least Hargrave and Williams were back. But I just, it's still something that to me is like the one move of this offseason that doesn't fully make sense.
Bo, I look at the linebackers, and I know this has been another bane of Eagles fans, you know, existence for a long time. But you know, you're looking at a crew of Kaiser White, T.J. Edwards, N'Kobe Dean, potentially, you know, among others here. They look like they have the potential to be about as good as I can remember in a really long time, maybe going back a couple eras here.
I think that's right, and you know, as you said, the bar is low. I mean, I guess, you know, Nigel Bradham in the 2017 Super Bowl year was as good of a linebacker as I think we've seen in a while, maybe Jordan Hicks earlier on in his career. But I think it does have a potential to be a step up from what we've seen over the past 3 or 4 years. I think N'Kobe Dean is the key. Kaiser White, I have high expectations for, but they're also tempered by the fact that, like, linebackers changing schemes are not always as seamless as you tend to expect. I'm a little bit curious about why Kaiser White was available for the price that the Eagles were able to get him for, considering the Chargers are going all in on defense this offseason. That's a little bit of a concern for me, but I think that N'Kobe Dean, if he can step in and be the player the Eagles expect him to be right away, I think he's the guy who's going to be sort of like the Eagles fans' favorite player on defense. I think there's a chance he could be a real star right away.
Yeah, that's the one where, and you get him in the third round and nobody can understand why. That's the one, if he's healthy and can play, that'll be quite a thing. Let's just move to offense for a second. And I know you wrote about this this week in The Athletic. The Eagles gave up their 18th overall pick. They gave up a third round pick. They signed A.J. Brown to the huge 4-year, $100 million contract. Missing piece? This going to be it? This is going to be what makes Jalen Hurts a star and makes the offense effective?
I guess it's what's going to make us find out if Jalen Hurts can be a star, right? I just think that, like, adding A.J. Brown to the top down of the weapons they have on the outside makes everybody better. I mean, Devontae Smith goes from being, like, a force-fed number one to being, a co-number one or a number two. Dallas Goedert is going to have less attention at him. And I think Quez Watkins is like is an outstanding fourth option, especially because he is that vertical threat. It's not like you can just ignore him. Otherwise, he'll you know, be open down the field. And then A.J. Brown, just an all-pro caliber player on his own. Add to that Jalen Hurts' rushing ability, this offensive line, that should open everything up. I mean, if Jalen Hurts can be as good as the Eagles think he can be, I think A.J. Brown gives us a chance to find out whether that is the case.
Bo, they out of necessity became a running team last year in a lot of ways, and it helped transform them, and that and playing bad teams got them to where they were. You look at it this year, you add A.J. Brown. You have Jalen Hurts now in his second year as a full-time starter. You have Shane Steichen and Nick Sirianni in their second years. These guys have been together now for a little while. How much different is this going to look? And if they don't succeed throwing the ball early, will they revert back to the running game, or will they keep just trying to throw here? Because ultimately, and tell me if you disagree, I think they would like to be much more of a throwing team than they have been.
Yeah, I think that's maybe the most fascinating thing and the question about this season heading into things. Now, the good news is they get to play a lot of bad teams again, like you referenced. The schedule seems pretty weak. I think their goal, and I don't know if this is how it will work out, but their goal is that they can, you know, change their identity week to week. They have the personnel now to do what the defense is giving them. So if the defense is loading the box against the run, they can open things up. If the defense is taking away stuff on the outside, they can run the ball down their throat. And I think you're probably right that, you know, given the ownership's DNA and given Nick Sirianni's DNA, they probably want to be able to throw the ball a little bit more than they did down the stretch last year. But I also think that if they're going to be as successful running the ball as they were down the stretch, there's really no reason to, you know, to change something that's not broken. So I think the goal is that they can do a little bit of both. I think they would like to tilt a little bit more towards the pass, but I think they're going to try to do whatever the defense is giving them.
Bo Wolf, it is always a pleasure. Always good stuff by you. Follow him on Twitter at Bo_Wolf, WULF, and read him in The Athletic. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the weekend.
Thanks, Bo.
There you go. Good stuff. So I heard somebody on our station the other day. I think it was a caller. And I was listening, so I didn't get to write the names down. But the caller was talking about, you know, we feel good about the Eagles and so on, but the quarterbacks the Eagles have beat in the past 2 years, and again, I don't remember them all, but it's like Nick Mullins, DiNucci, Trevor Siemian, Taylor Heineke, Daniel Jones twice, and I'm thinking, oof,
yeah,
there were not. Where's Aaron Rodgers?
Caller wasn't wrong, and not only did the good quarterbacks beat them, which they do to the majority of teams, by the way. That's how they become good quarterbacks, but they torch them, right? I mean, Derek Carr, 91% completion percentage. Yeah. You know, it was destruction. And to the Eagles' credit, I think they realized that, and that's why they were as aggressive as they were in the offseason addressing that side of the ball.
I'm very excited about that football season. I think they're going to be not great, but very good and very entertaining.
I agree. And I don't think they're going to be, you know, slaughtered by the really good teams like they were last year.
No. Let's talk to our pal, Neil. Neil, Ray Dinger, I was speaking to him last week. He told me specifically to say hello to you.
Yeah, and I'm glad the Phillies honored him. He definitely deserved that honor.
Yeah.
You know, like
nailed
when the Phillies did it, was a nice ceremony.
Yeah.
Yeah,
on
Ray's
your mind.
Definitely a class guy, and I definitely miss him, so... I'll talk about the Phillies in a minute, but briefly with the Eagles, it's almost topsy-turvy because now the schedule's a lot easier. They start off with Detroit, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Washington. So, this, you know, from a 2-6 schedule, they should actually get off to a pretty good start. And now, you know, I know the end of the schedule where they play Tennessee and maybe the Pats, and some of the good teams, you know, it's maybe tail heavy there. And of course, Dallas lost Amari Cooper and some of the offensive linemen. So I think the Eagles could be in with the division, but hopefully they have an aggressive approach. So I'm hoping under Gannon, especially with Reddick in and Hargrave and Sweat,
yep,
and maybe Fletcher.
Neil, I got to interrupt you because I know you called about the Phillies, and I want to get that in before we run out of time.
Okay. I got to give credit to Rob Thompson. I think he's got him even keel. And it's unusual, you know, the Phillies and the Braves since June have been the best teams in the National League. You know, I know the Mets got off the good start, but luckily they don't play the Mets again till August. So I'm just hoping it continues with the offense. But the bullpen turnaround has been great, and I hope they make a move to the trade deadline, like Rob said, to get a starter, because they, you know, definitely with Eflin and Suarez with the injuries, they could use another starter. Maybe
Neil,
even going
always,
into
always
next
good
season.
Stuff. Neil always covers a lot of ground, which is what Ray misses him for. So the Mets are now 2.5 games ahead of the Braves.
Yeah.
7 ahead of the Phillies. I mean, the Mets have been declining a little bit. Not like they're in collapse, but they're not maintaining the pace they were. But they've been down 2 great starting pitchers who I think are coming back.
Well,
so.
Yeah, they just got Scherzer back and DeGrom's in AAA. Yeah, I mean, look, the Braves have just been remarkable.
I know.
More than anything else. And you're in a brutal division. I mean, this division, top three are nasty. And the Marlins aren't terrible either, but the top three are just really good, man.
Yeah, well, so... That's. I guess we're not upset that they added that last one.
Not in the look. Two things.
Take the playoffs however I can get it.
Glenn, two things really happened in the Phillies' favor. One is the third wild card, and secondly was the universal DH. That they were game changers. This is over. Yes. We're talking 3 hours of Eagles today. If that's not the case.
Yes, the Phillies have gained by the fact that half the guys in their lineup are a DH, and it's working for them. Hey, I'll take it.
Mm-hmm.
Warren in Gwynedd Valley is with us. Hey, Warren.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Hey, Rob.
Sure.
Hey, Warren.
How's the back, Glenn?
It's still a work in progress. I appreciate your asking. I have a herniated disc that had its first anniversary the other day.
Oh, congrats.
Congratulations.
Thank you. We partied by doing a little physical therapy, and I'm looking forward to my appointment next Tuesday with the acupuncturist.
Good. So I'm living with 3 herniated discs, just for the record.
Three. Are you walking?
You're showing off now, Warren.
I learned about myself. I do chiropractic. I do everything to take care of myself. So you're in good hands, Glenn. Just keep going. I just wanted to make a quick point.
Thank you. So, I appreciate that.
And then I wanted to make the point about the Alec Boehm saving Zach Wheeler's performance last night. And what a turnaround he's had from his temper tantrums and throwing the bat and hitting himself to – having a record for the Phillies. I don't know if you heard, but he's the first Philly to have 2 single home runs in a game with a 2-0 win. So he got
They've been playing for whatever, 125 years. The first time it was a 2-0 game and one guy hit both homers. Mm.
Yes, correct.
I thought you might have like a Schmidt lefty combo on one of those.
Yeah, right.
So I just feel really glad for him, and it's nice to see, you know, every time, you know, some other player can't come through, that another Philly is able to take his place and put runs on the board and pull out a win for our starting pitchers. You just have to feel for Aaron Nola every time he goes out there.
He doesn't get it. You know, Rob, we agree. Wheeler's going to the All-Star game, right?
If he doesn't, something's wrong.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, and
Harper was selected as the starting DH.
Right, and Schwarber's got to go to the All-Star game in some capacity.
Right,
leads the league in home runs.
You would think.
Yeah, you got to get him in there.
If not, he's going to be in the home run derby, I would assume.
Yeah.
I know. I'm just saying. He'll maybe be in L.A. in some way.
And Nola's not going to make it. Nola, I mean, they really don't choose on wins-losses anymore. It's a stat that people don't really look at, but I don't. There are enough starting pitchers having a good year, and they take – a lot of relievers. I don't think Nola will make it. So the All-Star contingent, we believe, will be Harper waving to the crowd, Wheeler and Schwarber, right? That's it?
It should be. That's it. I mean, other than Odubel Herrera, it's clearly the other guy. No, but no. What's happened to Nola, it reminds me of some of the years that Cole Hamels went through, where there's no support or there's just something happening that is out of his control, but... It's been one of the big stories of the Phillies this year is his bounce back. I mean, you this is why you feel optimistic about the playoffs, because you shorten the rotation and you throw those two out there, you know, games 1 and 2, and you have a chance.
So who's the third starter in the playoffs? Gibson going to recover?
Maybe not here yet.
Maybe not here.
I think Gibson's...
Joe Blanton.
Right. For the most part, has been fine up until this point as a fifth starter, but he's really imploded lately. Hopefully, you know, hopefully he's going to be decent today and keep him in the game and eat some innings. But I would say Suarez or to be determined. Eflin's knee, I just can't trust it's going to hold up.
Yeah, no, I hear you. Our friend Tasty Cake Dom is checking in. You on the route right now?
I'm on the route. Yes,
there
Glenn.
You go.
What's up, Dobby?
How you guys going?
I'll text you my address.
Anytime, Glenn.
Thanks, Bob.
I actually should have trusted, I know both of you guys for 1,000 years. I should have trusted you guys to conduct the interview. So when this Bo guy says the proof is in the pudding, I immediately called you guys because I thought that was the most ridiculous statement in the history of sports talk radio. Because you got, Glenn, you got a first-year head coach, you got a first-year defensive coordinator, you got a quarterback that started 4 games. You didn't have nearly the talent on both sides of the ball, and they won 9 games and made the playoffs. What did the guy need to prove?
Oh, I think the defense coordinator has a lot to prove. I think that that you can make the argument that he didn't have the talent last year, and I agree with that, which is why he played such a cautious, passive defense. And now he's got real players, and the defense has to emerge from being, what did he say it was, 25th, 26th in the league, to a top 10 defense. I think that's I think that's what we want to see.
Yeah, I mean, I think he gave Fletcher a little too much credit for a decent season. I think he grossly underachieved. And they did an okay job with his points allowed, which is the ultimate stat, all things considered. Like, I think I'm higher on Jonathan Gannon than most, Glenn. I would put it that way.
Yeah, and Robbie, you know, BG is the leader of that defense.
Yeah, getting him back
and
is
you didn't
enormous.
Have him last year.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's back this year. That's, I know he's long in the tooth. I think that's huge to have him back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the thing I see setting up with this defensive line, it feels like 2017 in that you have a pretty good rotation of ends and defensive tackles where you can really keep these guys fresh. And I think that's going to be enormous.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm so excited to be listening.
Dom, I share your excitement. I do, but I don't disagree that there's a lot to prove on defense. But I share your excitement that it.
Did he say? Maybe I didn't listen. I thought.
Yeah, we were talking about Gannon and the defense.
The Eagles had the proof is in the pudding, and boy, I thought that they proved a lot. Which I had them nowhere near winning 9 games.
Well,
nowhere.
Nor did I, particularly how the season started. Dom, we got to go, but always a pleasure,
all
man.
Right.
Thanks.
See you guys.
All right, be well. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. With Rob Ellis, I'm Glenn Macnow on 94 WIP. With Rob Ellis, I'm Glenn Macnow, 94 WIP. Oh, you know, Rob, we talked earlier about a couple big losses in showbiz, the passing of Tony Sirico, the passing of James Caan, and yesterday I got Twitter notification of the passing of Larry Storch, F-Troop.
Oh.
Were you an F-Troop kid?
No. I'm not sure I've ever seen an episode of F-Troop.
Is that right?
Yeah.
It's a little before your time, I guess.
A lot of the shows I would catch in reruns, too, ones that were a little bit ahead of my time. I don't quite remember F-Troop as much in syndication.
It was really stupid. F-Troop was of the kind of Gilligan's Island, Beverly Hillbillies level of dumb humor.
Right.
But, you know, which is not to say necessarily bad, because in my life I have watched both Gilligan's Islands and the Beverly Hillbillies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, kind of old black and white. I think it started black and white and went color during the run. But Larry Storch was a guy who played like the goofy, nutty, dumb guy.
Right.
And when I went to Palm Springs and Hollywood a couple of years ago, I walked the Hollywood Walk of Fame, and he had a star. And I remember posting, like, this guy's got a star on Hollywood? And I got so much blowback of, like, what are you kidding? He's one of the best actors ever, one of the best shows.
Really?
But since you've never seen it, I don't really need to pursue it.
I just looked him up. He went to high school with Don Adams.
Wow.
They went to DeWitt Clinton High School in the Bronx with Don Adams.
Bet they had a pretty good senior play.
Yeah. 99 years old. This guy had a run, man.
He had a good run. With Agarn? Was that his name in F-Troop?
Oh, God.
Corporal Agarn?
Okay. Let's see.
Not important.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, the Paulie Walnuts got me last night, and then, you know, Caan a couple of days earlier. There were some tough ones, some tough blows.
Yeah, I guess we don't put Larry Storch in there.
Was he in Godfather 2 or 1? I think he was. Yeah. I think he played one of Fredo's friends.
Yeah, he doesn't make the pantheon of the greats.
Not quite.
All right, so you've been doing some work looking at some overs and unders.
Mm-hmm.
for the Eagles this coming season. And let's spend a couple minutes enjoying that.
Yeah, so I set these myself. This is not any service.
Oh, the rock. Oh,
okay.
Like this. Okay. All right. I'm in.
So I'll give you like a baseline so you know where you're coming from last year to where I'm setting it for this year, okay?
Okay, yeah.
So let's start with Miles Sanders. Now, keep in mind, this was only in 12 games. He missed 5 games. He rushed for 754 yards. He did not score a touchdown, Glenn. Did you realize that?
I remember it was an issue at the time because he's a guy who could break a long one.
Yeah, home run hitter for sure. An average 5 yards per carry. But, all right, 750 yards, 0 touchdowns in 12 games. I'm going to advance that to 950 yards and 4 touchdowns for 2022.
I'm going to go over on the touchdowns. What'd you say, 975?
950. 950 and 4 TDs.
I'm going to go under on the yards because I think they're going to spread the ball around a lot. And I think Kenneth Gainwell, I'm not sure if he's going to be one of the guys you're going to talk about, but I think Kenneth Gainwell is going to become more a part of it.
Okay. I would concur with the yards and the touchdowns. In my reasoning for the yards is simply because I think they're going to throw more, and I think the ball is just going to be spread around a little bit more than it was last year. Like, had he stayed healthy for all 17, he's over 1,000, right? And
especially when they really went to the run.
Yeah, finding the end zone a couple of times. But they don't have Jordan Howard unless they pick him up again and grab him off the scrap heap again. But, yeah, they could spread it around more to Gainwell and Boston Scott, frankly, from early on. And it's contract year for him, so keep that in mind, too, in terms of productivity. All right, let's jump to Devontae Smith. 64 catches, 916 yards for 5 touchdowns. That's what he had last year. 64, 916, and 5.
Not bad for a rookie. Not bad at all.
Not bad when you were the guy on the outside that they were looking to stop, too, with not a lot of help.
Yep.
All right, so I'm going to jump ahead. I'm not going to raise the catches a ton, and we'll get to why in a second, but I have him at 70 catches, 1,000 yards on the nose, and 7 touchdowns. 70, 1,000, 7.
These are good numbers. You're not making it easy. By the way, I need to tell people that this hour is sponsored by Meridian Bank. Business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. There's a lot of guys, and there's one football, as they say, but I think he's going to emerge, and I'm going to go over.
Oh, all 3. Okay, I like that.
I think Devontae is going to be a Pro Bowler this year, and would you have it at 1,000 yards?
Yeah, 1,000, right on the nose.
I think he's going to have 1,000. Who's the last receiver on the Eagles to have a 1,000-yard season?
Did Macklin go over 1,000?
I was thinking it was Macklin. Was there been nobody since Macklin? I'll look it up. You go with the next category.
Right. Yeah, and I think that Devontae Smith can get 6 more catches for sure. But here's the rub. AJ Brown is now a part of this team. And you look at AJ Brown, and keep in mind, Glenn, this was 13 games, okay? He missed 4 games last year. 63 catches, 869 yards, and 5 touchdowns. So he had one less catch, 40 less yards, approximately, and the same amount of touchdowns in 4 less games did A.J. Brown for the Titans with, an okay quarterback in Tannehill, but nothing special. So that said, let's go to this year for A.J. Let's go with 75 catches, again 1,000 yards, and let's go 8 touchdowns for A.J. Brown.
Boy, it's
tough. I mean, you can have 2,000 yard receivers.
I know that. Boy, that would be something. By the way, the last receiver, if you want to include it, to have 1,000 yards, of course, was Zach Ertz when he had that great, great year in 2018.
Yeah, I've been thinking tight end. Yeah.
The last wide receiver to have 1,000 yards was, I think it was Macklin in 2014. I'm looking.
It's a long time.
Sean did in 2013. Yeah, in 2015, Jordan Matthews had 997.
Oh, was he that close?
They should have found him on.
Come on. Yeah, do the guy a favor, man.
Yeah, get him there. You should do this professionally. give me it again.
So I went
because it's tough to have two.
right.
1,000-yard receiver, something I, you know, again, I'm kind of looking this up. I don't know if they've ever had that.
No, I mean, I look, 75 catches, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns.
I will say under on the TDs, over on the yards, right around there on the catch.
Yeah, I would.
But over on the yards, under on the touchdowns.
This would.
Which is just, I mean, touchdowns is sometimes just, you know.
Yeah, it's almost like a wins and losses for a pitcher. Sometimes you can't, but whatever. It's not a big measuring stick. Yards and catches and targets as well, because it means you're open in yards per catch. But, yeah, I mean, that's the beauty of this. I mean, they have the potential to have a killer 1-2 on the outside with a really good tight end.
Yeah.
You know, Goddard's sort of an afterthought.
And some depth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And again, I mentioned Gainwell. I'm hoping that Gainwell produces in the area for which they drafted him, which is catching passes out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Which Sanders has regressed at. Sanders was very good at that, I thought, in his like rookie season.
Yeah.
And then he really regressed. They need you know, the Brian Westbrooks, this team, the Deuce Staleys, this team has always had running backs who could catch the ball.
Agree. It's get him in
Ricky
space.
Waters.
Yeah, he's deadly in space.
Yeah.
But you're right. The knock on Sanders coming out of Penn State was he doesn't catch the ball well enough. And then his rookie year, you said, no, this dude just didn't get the chance. He's catching the ball. And then I don't know what he's a curious guy, Miles Sanders, in general. It's a big year for him. That's
keep waiting
for
that greatness.
You do. All right. Let's jump to Hurts here. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
2021 baseline. He had 3,144 passing yards.
Yeah.
16 touchdowns, 9 interceptions. Now, keep in mind, he also rushed for 784 yards and 10. Yeah. He had 10 rushing touchdowns, Glenn.
Oh, yeah.
So let's go with the passing numbers. I have him at 3,500 passing yards.
Over.
Okay.
I'm going 4,000.
20 TDs. That's a leap of 4 from last year.
Over.
Okay. Rushing yards, I said I dropped it to 608 rushing touchdowns.
Under.
Under on.
Under on the yards.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, I think the plan, I hope. Look, you never want to take away his legs because they keep defenses honest. Mm-hmm. But you know that running quarterback, sooner or later, it's not going to work out. So I would like to believe that Nick Sirianni's plan is, okay, look, now I have this guy that you can throw it to, this guy you can hand it to, this, you know, the other guy you can throw it to out of the backfield. You don't have to run. Ditch it off to your tight end. So I'm going to say 4,000 yards he's going to throw for. 25 touchdowns he's going to throw for. Would you had 20 as the number?
Yes, 20.
25 he's going to throw
for. Okay, that's a 9 TD leap. I like it.
And he's going to rush for under 600 yards.
How about TDs? He had 10 last year. I said it at 8.
I might even go over, or it's like right around. I wouldn't bet that proposition.
That's a stay away.
Well, because I think that he's still, you know, it's third and goal at the 1. I trust him to get in. So I think he's going to get his share of touchdowns. Even if he has far fewer carries, I think he'll get a good number of touchdowns because he can do that.
Okay. I'm going to set it at a push. He's going to get 8 touchdowns rushing.
All right. So how do people reach your bookie operation?
At R. Ellis Sports.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay. And watch the TV show when football season starts up. Odds on.
It's always a good
CBS
show.
CBS 3.
Yeah. I plan to start an account.
Thank you.
There you have it. All right, let's get TR in here. Hey, TR, what's going on? TR. Why are people doing this to us today, Rob?
I don't know what's going on.
They're there, and then somehow they're not there.
I think, Glenn, it's feeding into your short attention span with how people watch games. That's how they wait on hold.
He just wants the highlights of our show.
That's right. He wants the podcast.
Full 3 hours of the show.
Exactly.
He loses.
Yes.
215-592-9494. We'll work in a couple of things here before we leave, as well as we go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, for what we forgot to talk about. And then Tom Kelly is doing leading up today, taking you up to Phillies Cardinals. Hey, the summer heat means it's that time of year to crank up the AC again, keep your home cooling more efficiently, and to help you save on high energy bills, I suggest you go Guida and finally replace your old drafty, inefficient windows and doors with the great people at Guida Door and Window. Right now, Guida is offering the best discounts of the year with their big 40% off summer sale on all expertly installed windows and doors. You receive 40% off each window you buy. That's right, 40% off all high-performance, energy-efficient, triple-pane windows, and you receive 40% off of any door, including insulated entry doors, patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. Plus, get your project started today with no money down. Pay it off interest-free for up to 18 full months. All prior sales excluded. Minimum purchase required. Don't let this pass you by. Go Guided today. Call to schedule a free, no obligation in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GUIDA or visit them at GoGuided.com. That's Go, G-U-I-D-A.com. With Rob Ellis, I am Glenn Macnow. Phillies 2:15 started.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in St. Louis. Let's sneak in Don here before we go in South Philly. What's going on, Don?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hi, Don. Right.
I'll tell you what. It's the first time I've actually been able to jump on and listen to you guys since Ray. But you guys are doing a great job, man.
Thank you very much.
So the whole thing you guys are talking about with Devontae Smith, Brown and Goddard. I mean, you're talking. I mean, just between those three guys, you're talking what, 2,700 yards?
Yeah.
Of passing.
There is. It's really there for Jalen Hurts with a good offensive line, a good running game. Those two on the outside and Goddard. Man, there are a lot of weapons here.
I mean, he's got it delivered. That's the thing. And then you got to account for how many yards he's going to be thrown to the running backs. Whether it's Quez Watkins or Greg Ward or Pascal or whoever it's going to be. He's really got to pick up his passing game.
Rob, you said how many yards, Rob? Your over-under?
I set the over-under for 3,500 for Hurts.
And I'm saying 4,000. Don, sounds like you're going way beyond that.
Okay.
No. I think 4,000 will get the ball around enough. But
that'll do it.
4,000
will do it. Yeah, 4,000 will do it.
Yeah, 4,000.
And I agree with what you were saying, 24 or 25 touchdowns. I mean, yeah, he's got to make that kind of leap.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all we have is Tannehill.
Correct. And you know what? And look, and that's good enough to get you in the playoffs, but not good enough to take you any further. You don't want him to be Tannehill.
Tannehill,
I agree
with legs.
Yeah.
I am curious to know. I want to read when they open camp, How I Spent My Vacation by Jalen Hurts. Because I assume that he and the team focused entirely in offseason on, you got to get the quick release. You got to be more accurate. You got to know when the guy is open. Now, you know, my frustration with him last year was there were times when you see the receiver breaking from the defensive back, and the quarterback's got to throw it right then.
Yeah.
And he didn't, and that was a problem. All right, real quick, you got the Phillies lineup for today. What do we got?
All right, Schwarber leads off. No surprise there. Reese Hoskins.
And by the way, I have no problem with that. There was a lot of discussion about that. People think, like, why is he batting leadoff? It works. I'm fine with it.
I mean, look, he's been great. Why am I changing it? You don't have an obvious leadoff, man. Anyway, Schwarber leads off. Hoskins 2. Castellanos 3. Derek Hall will be batting cleanup.
Wonder of all wonder.
That's right. DHing. DD gets the start at short. He bats 5th. Alec Bohm, the hero last night, bats 6th. Bryson Stott will be at second base. He will bat 7th. Matt Vierling is in center field. Amen. He will bat 8th. Garrett Stubbs batting 9th and catching. Kyle Gibson is the starter. You remember, Glenn, they pushed him back a day because they feel like he may be getting a tired arm. Yeah. Actually, it worked great last night because Wheeler was awesome. So we'll see how it works out today.
It's a winning lineup, and you look at it on its face, and it would not seem to be. But, hey, whatever works great. By the way, just a quick preview. Tomorrow, Jody McDonald and I are working together, and we are doing something I did, I think 7 years ago this same week. As you know, Rob, this is not the most active week for sports and stuff. Barring any major stories breaking, Jody and I tomorrow will be doing the draft of all-time TV characters.
Ooh.
Along with the audience and our producer, Tahir Hood. So if you had Rob Ellis, the number one pick, all-time television character, who would you take?
Tony Soprano.
Yeah, that's probably who I'd
James Gandolfini.
He's a one seed.
I want at least... Tony Sirico, Paulie Walnuts to at least be in some kind of write-in vote if he doesn't make the all-time list.
I mean, I'm thinking 3 hours, we probably could do somewhere between 10 and 15 rounds. So, yeah, I think he'll sneak in there.
Yeah.
Special teams guy.
Like it.
All right. Let us go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, find out what did we forget to talk about today.
Yeah, well, first, I just want to say I find it interesting that you guys are holding this draft the day that I'm not going to be here after what I did to you guys in our most recent snake draft that we had. So,
which one was that?
He did beat us, Glenn.
Yeah, that was the local draft? The local athlete. Draft.
Oh yeah. You know, your middle rounds were great. You pulled out all the popular women.
That was that was
Carly Lloyd. Yeah.
That was
good
tough
strategy.
What I did to you guys there. Yeah. But yeah. All right. So I haven't heard nearly enough outrage from the phone calls on this show this whole week about what happened to our USFL Philadelphia Stars last weekend. Guys, they lost a heartbreaker 33-30 to the Birmingham Stallions. Now, here's where it gets a little fishy, guys. These games are all supposed to be played on a neutral site, right? Which is in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, the Stars had to go up against the Birmingham Stallions, who were playing on their home turf. I mean, what the hell's that? We got hosed, guys.
Can I tell you why nobody's outraged, Kyle?
Why, Rob?
Because they played in Canton, Ohio. The playoffs were played in Canton, Ohio. Oh, if you're going to be outraged.
Oh, you got it wrong?
They played the regular season in Birmingham.
Well, it just shows how much I was paying attention to this.
You were smelling yourself after the draft.
Look. Yeah, it was a fake outrage. That's a chest pat on me. I was trying to get people
going. I will
give
you credit, Kyle, if you can name one member of that roster.
Case Cookus.
It's the quarterback.
That's the QB.
Did he make that name up?
No, that's really
his name.
No, yeah, that's the man. Boom.
Case Cookus?
I redeemed myself.
It is a great name.
The
cooker.
Couldn't cook us a championship.
Cook us a championship. Right. You know what? The Daily News, we're following that. It would be great. All right. What else?
All right. So 0 for 1 so far. All right. You guys ever hear of a walk-off balk?
No.
We got a walk-off balk the other day, fellas. The Cincinnati Reds walk-off balked against the Tampa Bay Rays. It actually, guys, is the 23rd time a team has won on a walk-off balk since 1920. That
really?
Seems like a lot, doesn't it?
I would have knocked that in half at least.
Right.
Who was the pitcher, do you know?
It was some reliever. I'm not sure he's a very recognizable name. Yeah.
That's a thrilling way to end a game.
Yeah, imagine being in the stands.
Yeah. Woo, we balked it off.
I saw the highlight. I think the guy at home plate, the batter, caught is just like shrugging as the dude's like skipping down the third baseline. Like, all right, we won.
When I become commissioner of baseball, and I'm still waiting for that call, I am eliminating the balk rule.
Really?
You can do anything you want. You're the pitcher. You have it on the mound. Start, stop, whatever. Nobody really knows when it's a balk, Rob.
Nobody steals anyway now, so it really doesn't matter.
You know what people always think? Here's the play that drives me crazy. The pitcher fakes to third, fakes throwing it to third, fakes throwing it to home, or fakes throwing it to first, and doesn't. And the crowd always boos. Like, that's not a balk.
Yeah.
Nothing. It's
a weird built-in reaction that fans go through for whatever reason when it's
boo.
Nothing.
Yeah. Well, you can usually hear the crowd going, balk, balk, like they know what they're talking about. Now, I will say, I agree with you. I think not a lot of people know what a balk is or think they know what a balk is. But we got one last night from Wheeler, and when he made that movement, I said, that's a balk.
Yep.
And it was a balk.
It was.
So I did recognize it when I saw it.
Nonetheless, when this Rob Manfred idiot finally is pushed out of a seat that he should not be holding, whole other topic, I realize, and they say, who should be commissioner? And they go, that Mac now in Philadelphia, he's wanted to do it. And I get the job. One of my first things is going to be no more balks.
Can you fire Angel Hernandez second?
Yes, please make the next move.
I saw that one. That foul ball that solidly hit the chalk.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
Yes, and he managed to show off. Indeed. All right, what else?
All right, fellas, one more real quick. I'm not sure if you guys noticed this, but Troy Vincent, who's the head of the NFLPA, is getting the NFL to push for flag football in the Olympics, guys.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, apparently it's becoming pretty popular worldwide, flag football.
Love it.
I do like that.
Just another sport for America to dominate in.
Devin Allen would crush in that.
Yeah, true. Good call.
Yes.
Man, that's right up his alley.
He could go right from one to the other. Just go do the hurdles and run right over and win the flag championship.
Go down the street.
Right, wear the flags as you're running the hurdles just so you save the costume change.
Perfect.
And by the way, I'm a big fan of Troy Vincent, who I think is an all-around great guy. Former guest on Tell Us Your Story. If people want to Google that, you can certainly find it. He did a great appearance on that. Yes, I think, Rob, you and I would certainly be in favor of flag football in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes. More gold for our team.
Amen.
Great job, Kyle Quinn. Terrific talking to you. Rob, always a pleasure to hang with
my
you.
My pleasure, friend. Glenn. Thanks.
And yes, let me tell people one more time that this hour was sponsored by Meridian Bank, business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Tom Kelly is coming up. He's going to take you right up to the Phillies Cardinals game. Everybody, I'll be back tomorrow morning with Jody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Listen to the Phillies on the radio. And you know what? Don't listen for the highlights. Get a whole 3 hours of Fransky. Nothing's better than that. Stay tuned right here on 94 WIP. With Rob Ellis, I am Glenn Macnow. Phillies 2:15 started.
Yes.
Yeah, it's in St. Louis. Let's sneak in Don here before we go in South Philly. What's going on, Don?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Hi, Don. Right.
I'll tell you what. It's the first time I've actually been able to jump on and listen to you guys since Ray. But you guys are doing a great job, man.
Thank you very much.
So the whole thing you guys are talking about with Devontae Smith, Brown and Goddard. I mean, you're talking. I mean, just between those three guys, you're talking what, 2,700 yards.
Yeah.
Of passing?
It's really there for Jalen Hurts with a good offensive line, a good running game. Those two on the outside and Goddard, man, there are a lot of weapons here.
I mean, he's got to deliver. That's the thing. And then you got to account for how many yards he's going to be throwing to the running backs, whether it's Quez Watkins or Greg Ward or Pascal or whoever it's going to be. He's really got to pick up his passing game.
All right, you said how many yards, Rob? Your over-under?
I set the over-under for 3,500 for Hurts.
And I'm saying 4,000. Don, sounds like you're going way beyond that.
Okay.
No. I think 4,000 will get the ball around enough.
That'll do it. 4,000 will do it.
Yeah, 4,000.
And I agree with what you were saying, 24 or 25 touchdowns. I mean, yeah, he's got to make that kind of leap.
Yeah.
Otherwise, all we have is Tannehill.
Correct. And you don't want, look, and that's good enough to get you in the playoffs, but not good enough to take you any further. You don't want him to be Tannehill. I agree with
legs.
Yeah.
I am curious to know. I want to read when they open camp How I Spent My Vacation by Jalen Hurts. Because I assume that he and the team focused entirely in the offseason on you got to get the quick release. You got to be more accurate. You got to know when the guy is open. Now, you know, my frustration with him last year was there were times when you see the receiver breaking from the defensive back, and the quarterback's got to throw it right then.
Yeah,
and he didn't, and that was a problem. All right, real quick, you got the Phillies lineup for today. What do we got?
All right, Schwarber leads off. No surprise there. Reese Hoskins.
And by the way, I have no problem with that. There was a lot of discussion about that. People think like, why are you buying leadoff? It works. I'm fine with it.
I mean, look, he's been great. Why am I changing it? You don't have an obvious leadoff, man. Anyway, Schwarber leads off. Hoskins 2, Castellanos 3. Derek Hall will be batting cleanup.
Wonder of all wonders.
That's right. DHing. DD gets the start at short. He bats 5th. Alec Bohm, the hero last night, bats 6th. Bryson Stott will be at second base. He will bat 7th. Matt Vierling is in center field. Amen. He will bat 8th. Garrett Stubbs batting 9th and catching. Kyle Gibson is the starter. You remember, Glenn, they pushed him back a day because they feel like he may be getting a tired arm. Yeah. Actually, it worked great last night because Wheeler was awesome. So we'll see how it works out today.
It's a winning lineup, and you look at it on its face, and it would not seem to be. But, hey, whatever works great. By the way, just a quick preview. Tomorrow, Jody McDonald and I are working together, and we are doing something I did, I think 7 years ago. This same week, as you know, Rob, this is not the most active week for sports and stuff. Barring any major stories breaking, Jody and I tomorrow will be doing the draft of all-time TV characters.
Ooh.
Along with the audience and our producer, Tahir Hood. So if you had Rob Ellis, the number one pick, all-time television character, who would you take?
Tony Soprano.
Yeah, that's probably who I had.
James Gandolfini.
He's a one seed.
I want at least... Tony Sirico, Paulie Walnuts to at least be in some kind of write-in vote if he doesn't make the all-time list.
I mean, I'm thinking 3 hours we probably could do somewhere between 10 and 15 rounds. So, yeah, I think he'll sneak in there. Some special teams guy.
Like it.
All right. Let us go to our producer, Kyle Quinn, find out what did we forget to talk about today.
Yeah, well, first, I just want to say I find it interesting that you guys are holding this draft the day that I'm not going to be here after what I did to you guys in our most recent snake draft that we had. So,
which one was that?
He did beat us, Glenn.
That was the local athlete draft.
Oh, yeah. Your middle rounds were great. You pulled out all the popular women. That was good work.
Yeah, that was
Carly Lloyd. Yeah.
That was tough strategy. What I did to you guys there. Yeah. But all right. So I haven't heard nearly enough outrage from the phone calls on this show this whole week about what happened to our USFL Philadelphia Stars last weekend. Guys, they lost a heartbreaker 33-30 to the Birmingham Stallions. Now, here's where it gets a little fishy, guys. These games are all supposed to be played on a neutral site, right? Which is in Birmingham, Alabama. Now, the Stars had to go up against the Birmingham Stallions, who were playing on their home turf. I mean, what the hell's that? We got hosed, guys.
Can I tell you why nobody's outraged, Kyle?
Why, Rob?
Because they played in Canton, Ohio. The playoffs were played in Canton, Ohio. If you're going to be outraged...
Oh, you got it wrong?
They played the regular season in Birmingham.
Well... it just shows how much I was paying attention to this.
You were smelling yourself after the draft.
It was a fake outrage. That's a chest pat on me. I was trying to get people
going. I will
give
you credit, Kyle, if you can name one member of that roster.
Case Cookus.
It's the quarterback.
That's the QB.
Did he make that name up?
No, that's really his name. No, yeah, that's the man. Boom.
Case Cookus?
I redeemed myself.
It is a great name. The cooker.
Couldn't cook us a championship.
Yeah, cook us a championship. Right. You know what? The Daily News, we're following that. It would be great. All right, what else?
All right, so 0 for 1 so far. All right, you guys ever hear of a walk-off balk?
No.
We got a walk-off balk the other day, fellas. The Cincinnati Reds walk-off balked against the Tampa Bay Rays. It actually, guys, is the 23rd time a team has won on a walk-off balk since 1920. That seems like a lot, doesn't it?
I would have knocked that in half at least.
Right.
Who was the pitcher, do you know?
It was some reliever. I'm not sure he's a very recognizable name. Yeah.
That's a thrilling way to end a game.
Yeah, imagine being in the stands.
Yeah. Woo, we balked it off.
I saw the highlight. I think the guy at home plate, the batter, caught is just like shrugging as the dude's like skipping down the third baseline. Like, all right, we won.
When I become commissioner of baseball, and I'm still waiting for that call, I am eliminating the balk rule.
Really?
You can do anything you want. You're the pitcher. You have it on the mound. Start, stop, whatever. Nobody really knows when it's a balk, Rob.
Nobody steals anyway, so it really doesn't matter.
You know what people always think? Here's the play that drives me crazy. The pitcher fakes to third, turns, fakes throwing it to third, fakes throwing it to home, or fakes throwing it to first, and does it. And the crowd always boos. That's not a balk.
Yeah.
Nothing. That's
yeah,
my rule.
It's a weird built-in reaction that fans go through for whatever reason when it's
boo.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Well, you can usually hear the crowd going, balk, balk, like they know what they're talking about. Now, I will say, I agree with you. I think not a lot of people know what a balk is or think they know what a balk is. But we got one last night from Wheeler, and when he made that movement, I said, that's a balk.
Yep.
And it was a balk.
It was.
So I did recognize it when I saw it.
Well, nonetheless, when this Rob Manfred idiot finally is pushed out of a seat that he should not be holding, whole other topic, I realize, and they say, who should be commissioner? And they go, that Mac now in Philadelphia. He's wanted to do it. And I get the job. One of my first things is going to be no more balks.
Can you fire Angel Hernandez second?
Yes, please make
that. I saw that.
The next move.
I saw that one. That foul ball that solidly hit the chalk.
Oh, my God.
Goodness.
Yes, and he managed to show off. Indeed. All right, what else?
All right, fellas, one more real quick. I'm not sure if you guys noticed this, but Troy Vincent, who's the head of the NFLPA, is getting the NFL to push for flag football in the Olympics, guys.
Oh,
really?
Yeah, apparently it's becoming pretty popular worldwide, flag football.
Love it.
I do like that.
Just another sport for America to dominate in.
Devin Allen would crush in that.
Yeah, true. Good call.
Yes.
Man, that's right up his alley.
He could go right from one to the other. Just go do the hurdles and run right over and win the flag championship.
Go down the street.
Right, wear the flags as you're running the hurdles just so you save the costume change.
Perfect.
I like, and by the way, I'm a big fan of Troy Vincent, who I think is an all-around great guy. former guest on Tell Us Your Story. If people want to Google that, you can certainly find it. He did a great appearance on that. Yes, I think, Rob, you and I would certainly be in favor of flag football in the Olympics.
Yeah.
Yes. More gold for our team.
Amen.
Great job, Kyle Quinn. Terrific talking to you. Rob, always a pleasure to hang with
my
you.
My pleasure, friend. Glenn. Thanks.
And, yes, let me tell people one more time that this hour was sponsored by Meridian Bank, business banking at its best. Visit them at meridianbanker.com. Tom Kelly is coming up. He's going to take you right up to the Phillies-Cardinals game. Everybody, I'll be back tomorrow morning with Jody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Listen to the Phillies on the radio. And you know what? Don't listen for the highlights. Get a whole 3 hours of Fransky. Nothing's better than that. Stay tuned right here on 94 WIP.